Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Getting Work Done by Harvard Business Review, narrated by James Edward Thomas.
Why invest time in improving your productivity? Do you feel so swamped with work that you don't know where to start? Though you know that it's essential to work efficiently to ensure that you get everything done, these feelings can be paralyzing and cause you to spiral into a panic that actually makes you less productive. How do you get out of this cycle and get started? This book will begin by highlighting the basics of time management, how to track, prioritize, and log your work so you can see where inefficiencies lie and where your goals aren't being met. It will then show you how to schedule your tasks and create helpful to-do lists. Organize the virtual and physical space around you in order to achieve better focus. Train yourself in better habits and routines, and work more effectively with others. Your first reaction may be to rebel against these efforts. Your time is already sapped. Why would you expend more of it making lists, planning and executing changes to your work habits, and tracking your progress? Though improving your productivity requires time and effort up front, you will get more accomplished in the long run, and you'll do it more deliberately and calmly. By tracking your time, you'll discover inefficiencies that will help you identify tasks that should be prioritized or delegated. By getting more organized, you will clear away distractions so you can stop procrastinating and finally focus. By adjusting your work habits and establishing new routines, you will discover newfound energy to put toward the work that matters. And by assessing your progress over time, you'll be able to adjust how you're working as your goals evolve. Commit to change. It's important to believe that you can become more organized, that you can change your work habits and improve your efficiency. You may think that you're built to work a certain way, or that the way you work is too ingrained to be altered. Either you're a morning person or you're not. Either you're organized or you thrive in chaos and clutter. This is not true. Good habits can be learned, and even better, they can become routine. In today's world of instant communication, we have become drawn to urgency. It pulls us in and gives us a false sense of productivity. See the sidebar, busy doesn't mean productive. But putting systems in place to organize your work helps to dissipate the stress and lets you work with more forethought, focus, and energy. Most importantly, it will give you time and attention for your most important work, the work that actually contributes to your personal goals and those your organization has set for you. Busy doesn't mean productive. Do you find yourself running from meeting to meeting, dashing off responses to emails while zipping through the halls, and focusing on routine tasks in order to feel a sense of accomplishment? If so, you may not be as productive as you think. It's time to take stock of your work and your priorities. Busyness can be a dangerous way to make up for a lack of purpose or a feeling that you aren't a good fit within a particular role or organization. You can schedule your day in an attempt to make yourself and others see value in you, but being busy may prevent you from reaching your true potential. Admit to yourself that it might be time to improve the way you work. In order to truly understand what work is most important and how to become more efficient, you need to first identify your goals and recognize how you're currently spending your time. We'll start there. Identify what needs to get done. What goals are you aiming for in your work? Does the way that you are spending your time actually correlate to those goals? Without answers to these questions, you won't know how the many tasks on your list should be prioritized, organized, and ultimately accomplished. List your goals. Ideally, you and your manager should meet at the start of each year to formulate a set of performance goals. From your discussion, you should understand how those goals tie into the company's aims and mission. You likely also have your own personal career goals. Together, these may look something like improve people management skills, manage 6 new products, handle contracts for all of the department's new products, develop vendor management skills. Revisiting them now, write these goals down on paper or in a note-taking app if you prefer. You will use these goals in 2 ways. First, to prioritize your daily work, and second, to gauge your progress. In other words, to benchmark what you're accomplishing and whether the changes you make as a result of this book are effective for you. By referring back to this list regularly, you'll be able to identify which tasks are most important for you to tackle so you can plan accordingly. Track your time. Once you've identified your goals, it's time to examine how you're currently spending your time. Are you working on the things you should be doing? The things that will allow you to reach those goals? Or are you getting bogged down by unrelated tasks or unexpected crises? In order to truly understand where you are spending your time and to identify whether you should adjust your workload, track your work for 2 weeks by completing the following exercise. You may discover that your results don't align with your goals. The point is to uncover where that misalignment occurs so you can correct it. First, write down your activities. Consider this a brain dump and leave no stone unturned. List all of the tasks you perform, meetings you attend, and even the time you spend socializing or procrastinating at work. It can help to look back over your calendar for the last week or two to get a sense of your range of activities. Once you have a full list, break it down into broad categories so you can track the amount of time you spend doing tasks in each category. Some categories to consider include core responsibilities, day-to-day tasks that make up the crux of your job, personal growth, activities and projects that you find meaningful and valuable but may not be part of your everyday responsibilities, managing people, your work with others, including direct reports, colleagues, and even your superiors, crises and fires, interruptions and urgent matters that arise occasionally and unexpectedly, free time, lunch breaks and time spent writing personal emails, browsing the web, or checking social media, administrative tasks, necessary tasks that you perform each day, such as approving timesheets or invoices, or putting together expense reports. Seeing your work broken into categories like this will help you visualize how you're really spending your time, and you may already be getting a sense of whether this lines up with the goals you identified. Then, track your time. Once you have your categories established, begin tracking how much time you spend doing tasks in each. You can estimate by the hour, or if you want to dig deeper into your habits, you can get more granular. To record your results, use either an online time tracking tool or a standard calendar. To analyze those results, use a spreadsheet like the one depicted in Table 1. List each category in its own column and write the days of the week in each row. Calculate the time you spend on each task for each category for the next 2 weeks and put the totals in the corresponding categories. At this point, you may be thinking, "I'm busy. I don't have time to log everything I do." It's true. This system does require an upfront investment of time and effort. But logging your tasks and how long it takes to complete them will let you clearly see where you're spending too much time and where you need to begin to reallocate time to achieve your goals. If you want to improve your people management skills, for example, you may realize that devoting 10 hours a week is not enough. Perhaps you need to offload some administrative tasks so you have the additional time you need for that goal. By making small, deliberate shifts in how you spend your day, you'll ensure that you're investing the right amount of time on the tasks that matter most, making you more efficient at achieving your goals. Schedule your work. Now that you know what your goals are and have identified where you may need to be spending more or less time, it's time to tackle your task list. All those competing priorities, projects, and activities that you need to do in the near future. First, identify the most important work you need to do, then figure out when to do it. Set priorities. Go through your task list, everything you need to do that you have marked down on sticky notes in notebooks or in email reminders to yourself, and determine what is most important and what is most urgent. Without a clear way to identify the important work from the not-so-important, you're likely to treat every item on your list and request that comes your way as urgent. But urgent and important are different. By staying focused on the goals you identified, you can separate out what seems urgent but really isn't. Emails in which the sender demands an immediate response, but without a specific reason. Projects that seem quick but turn out to be more involved. And simple tasks that are just more appealing than other work you need to do. These activities often present themselves as pressing, even if they are not. Resist the temptation to get drawn into these tasks without thinking them through. Some cases, a request from your boss with a tight deadline might actually require your immediate attention. Others may be able to wait until after you've completed your more important work. Evaluate each item on your task list based on its importance, how closely it aligns with the goals you've identified, and the way you want to spend your time. And its true urgency based on the following four descriptions, first defined by productivity expert Stephen Covey. Number 1. Urgent and important. These are the crises and deadlines that you need to address. A problem with the product that you oversee, the website that you help to maintain, or a big client that you handle, for example. These should always be your highest priority. Number 2. Not urgent, but important. These tasks have a high impact on you or your organization, but aren't necessarily time-sensitive. They are likely to be closely related to your goals. Acquisition of a new skill or work on a big project, for example. Because they're not urgent, you might fail to devote enough time to them, which is why you should make them your second priority. Number 3. Urgent, but less important. These tasks need to be done quickly, but have a lower impact if they're finished late or if they're never done at all. When considering whether something is less important, be sure to consider its potential impact not only on you, but on your group or organization as well. These should be your third priority. Number 4. Not urgent and less important. These are the tasks that don't require immediate attention and aren't urgent. These should be your last priority. See the section Learn to Say No later in the book for more on recognizing when you shouldn't agree to take on new tasks suggested by colleagues. By prioritizing your tasks in this way, you can identify what needs to happen first and what can be put off until later. This will help as you begin to set real deadlines for your work and decide when you will do which tasks. You'll also begin to see what work you can actually handle and what you can and should delegate to others. See the section Delegate later in this book. Lowest priority items are often those that can be often handed off. This is the fastest path to obtaining additional time that you can use toward more important work. Use deadlines to your advantage. Now that you have a sense of which tasks are most important and need to be done first or last, it's time to think about when to actually do them. When planning any kind of project, even one without a prescribed deadline, set realistic, meaningful end dates. Deadlines put pressure on everyone involved, but they are also crucial to get a project moving. Some of your tasks may have a deadline already assigned, a report that's due at noon on Friday, for example. But for others, you shouldn't be afraid to set your own deadlines and to commit to them according to the priorities you set earlier. When setting a deadline, break the project down into manageable tasks and record how long each step should take. This will help to ensure that you've allotted the appropriate amount of time to each task. Consider how long it has taken to complete a similar task in the past. Think about what might not go as planned, and allot time in the schedule to change course if needed. If the project is new to you, seek advice from someone who has worked on a similar project. Could you share your estimates with your manager for her feedback? Are you working with another colleague or an external vendor who could help you gauge appropriate timing? Making these inquiries in advance will ensure that the time you're allocating to each task is realistic. Breaking a larger project into its component parts with individual due dates will guarantee that you have budgeted time for each part of the process, and these interim deadlines will also help you avoid leaving the bulk of the project to the last minute. You will feel a sense of accomplishment as you complete each piece according to your schedule, and you'll avoid that overwhelming panic that consumes you when you leave something until the 11th hour. While deadlines can facilitate getting work done in a timely manner, they can bring their own pressures and frustrations. Deadlines can take a toll if they are unrealistic, so make every effort to avoid the extreme pressure that comes from not allotting adequate time to specific tasks, especially if you need to explore new ideas or think creatively. Give yourself the time you'll need. That said, it's tempting to give yourself extra time to avoid additional pressure. But artificially extending deadlines doesn't work. When you do this, you lose motivation, you procrastinate, and you don't leave yourself time to react if something doesn't go as planned. Once you set a deadline, keep to it. Extending a deadline just for the sake of granting yourself an extension will have a cascading effect on the rest of your schedule. Put in the work up front to create a realistic schedule and then follow it. Add the deadlines for each task to your calendar. Even if you have them all in one place in a separate project plan, for example, it's still helpful to be reminded of them on a day-to-day basis. You'll see at a glance if you're overscheduled, and you'll be reminded of upcoming milestones as they approach. Schedule your tasks. Now that you know what work has to get done and you've assigned deadlines for completion, you need to decide when you'll actually do the work. You should consider this regularly, at the beginning of each week, for example, but also daily as you arrive in the morning or before you go home, to take into account new tasks and what you accomplished that day. Looking at each of the deadlines you set and your calendar, plot out what work you're going to do when. You'll write marketing copy at 3 p.m. on Wednesday, for example. Recording these activities directly on your calendar will help you see quickly if all of your tasks are achievable within the time frame you have to complete them. Projects will also feel less daunting if they are spread out and assigned to specific days. When scheduling your time, put your most demanding and important tasks at the beginning of the day. This is when you're fresh and energized and haven't yet been interrupted by other workplace demands. Tackle those tough tasks first, and you'll feel a sense of accomplishment that will enable you to complete the less onerous tasks around the other commitments of your day. Similarly, keep in mind your energy levels throughout the day. Schedule easy tasks between harder ones to reward yourself for getting the tough ones done and to give yourself a mental break. If you have several similar tasks to get done in a week, try grouping them together. Do all of your travel reports or invoicing during 1 hour-long chunk, for example. Checking these tasks off as a group is rewarding and helps you hit those deadlines easily. It also minimizes switching back and forth between different kinds of tasks, which can erode your efficiency. As you add your tasks into your calendar, you'll quickly realize that there aren't enough hours in the day to achieve everything you'd like. This exercise forces you to prioritize your most important tasks and to schedule those that are less important into time slots on another day. But in some cases, you may still have items on your list that haven't made it onto your calendar. Tasks you seem to carry over every day or every week, and you never seem to get to. Sometimes these are administrative in nature, such as creating a new filing system to store vendor contracts, or they're related to longer-term goals, such as brainstorming ideas for a new product. Take a moment to review these tasks and decide what to do with each one. Number one, just do it now. Wouldn't it feel great to cross that task off your list, even if it never does bubble up as a top priority? If that's the case, just do it and move on. Respond to that voicemail, cancel that meeting, or book that flight. Then move on to more important work. Number two, schedule the task for later. You've determined the task doesn't require immediate attention. You can't check it off quickly, but it still needs to get done. Slot it on your calendar for a later date and adjust any related deadlines accordingly. It won't get done if you don't schedule it, and even if that means you put it on your calendar for a month from now, get it on there. You can reconsider it when that day comes. Number three, remove the task. If you aren't willing to complete the task or schedule it, this could mean that you're never going to get to it. This is a clear signal that whatever it is, it's not a priority. Admit this to yourself, talk to your manager, and get permission to remove the task from your list, either by delegating it or deciding together that it's just not going to happen. You've now organized and prioritized your tasks and removed those tasks that you do not have time to get done. Now it's time to create your to-do list. Create your daily to-do list. As the last step in this process, look at your calendar. What do you need to do today? If you've already scheduled time for each task on your calendar, making the day's to-do list should be rather straightforward. There are two keys to employing to-do lists successfully. First, break down your tasks. A to-do is one single task that will move a project or goal forward. This concept should be familiar from what you did to break down your deadlines. For example, if your task is to create a production schedule for a catalog, one to-do is to email the print vendor and set a print date that will allow you to create that schedule. Going through the exercise of creating a to-do list also reminds you of each step that needs to happen toward achieving your tasks in a given day. Second, be specific. Don't leave yourself cryptic notes. You might have "schedule lunch with Elsa" on your to-do list, but by the time you get to that item, you forget what the purpose of the lunch was or when you wanted to schedule it. Be more specific so that it's clear why your to-do is important. Write it all out. Schedule lunch with Elsa on Friday at 1 p.m. to discuss the upcoming client meeting. To create your actual physical list, number one, put your list on a note card or oblong sheet of paper. Create a list you can see and carry with you by putting it on a sheet of paper that is a special shape or size. It will stand out from the other papers on your desk. Number two, note the due date next to the task. This is yet another reminder of how much time you have. Number three, highlight your top priorities. Color coding allows you to home in on those most important to-dos. As you work, take a look at your to-do list regularly, every hour or so. Is it still manageable? Do some tasks need to be reprioritized or rescheduled? If you engage in this review every hour, you will start to take better control of your time, and you will get more work done. Consider rewarding yourself for your efforts, too. When you cross three tasks off your list, give yourself a break or launch into an easy task next. The sense of accomplishment and reward will keep you motivated. by taking the time to understand your goals and how you spend your time, and then prioritizing and assigning times to your work, you can create daily to-do lists that are realistic and that ensure you'll get the right work done at the right time. Next, you need to improve how you actually go about working by finding your focus and developing good habits. Find your focus. You've set your goals and priorities. Your to-do list is ready. We'll now turn to organizing your environment, both physically and virtually, so that you can become more focused once you begin tackling each task. We'll also look at how you think about your day, finding routines that can minimize the daily decisions you need to make and maximize the energy you have available for important work. Organize your space. If you can't find your to-do list on your desk, it's buried under your breakfast, hidden under a mountain of paperwork, or scribbled on the back of your child's soccer schedule, chances are you're not going to check off too many items. It's important that the physical space you are working in is conducive to getting work done. Here is how to create a calmer, more efficient work environment. Number one, eliminate the clutter. As you begin each item on your to-do list, take the time to file or throw away anything that is not relevant to the task at hand. A clear space allows you the physical and mental capacity to work and eliminates distractions that can lure you off course. Number two, keep what you need within reach. If you use a stapler once a month, put it in a drawer. If you use a particular workbook or reference book daily, keep it next to your keyboard. If an item on your desk hasn't been used by the end of the week, file it or throw it away. Number three, bundle complementary supplies. Store the staples next to the stapler and the tape refills with the tape dispenser. You'll save the time it takes to hunt for these items later. Number four, keep a physical inbox. Clear your chair of any paper, packets, and handwritten notes your coworkers leave you when you're away from your desk. Instead, create an inbox on your desk and direct colleagues to put important documents there. Go through this inbox at the end of each day, readying it for the next. Otherwise, it becomes just another box of clutter. Number five, make yourself comfortable. Is your office chair and computer monitor at a comfortable height for you? Is your space aesthetically pleasing? You spend a lot of time in your workspace, so organize it in a way that is comfortable for you. After you've made some of these changes, check back in with yourself and reassess your environment after a week or so. Is your space working for you? Are you constantly hunting for that notepad you moved? Are you leaving pens everywhere because the coffee mug that holds them is now out of reach? Make the adjustments your space needs to ensure you're comfortable and your space is efficient. Organize your email. Email has brought a number of benefits to the workplace. You're always accessible to your boss, to colleagues, to customers, and to your loved ones. And it affords you the opportunity to work remotely, to collaborate with thought leaders worldwide, and to work more quickly. But email can also be a huge disadvantage when it comes to effective work. The constant pinging of incoming messages and an overflowing inbox can be a big distraction, and it can take a lot of time just to sort through and remove unimportant messages. Just as you took the time to clean up your physical space, take the time to revisit your virtual space. Number one, clean up that inbox. Sorting your emails by sender will help you delete the backlog of messages you no longer need and the ones you have already responded to. Number two, create three folders: follow-up, hold, and archive. For the remainder of your messages, an efficient filing system works online just as it does in your physical office. Create three folders in which you'll place all the emails that now remain in your inbox: follow-up, where you'll file the messages you need more than a few minutes to respond to. Hold, for messages that refer to an event in the future, like
sample complete. Ready to continue?